Shall we pray? Our great God and loving Father, you are the exalted, mighty King of the universe. In your great grace, you have spoken to us in your word. Please, Lord, in every one of our hearts, make us aware of what enormous, unmerited privilege that is to have the God of the universe give us a message. We pray that you will turn our hearts to be attentive, that we'll absorb what is said in your word, and that we will take it on ourselves to change our lives so that they better reflect your glory. I thank you for Murray and his preparation. I pray that you'll be with him now as he opens up this passage. Amen.
Thanks, Larry. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us this morning at God Squad. So the first thing we need to do is just need to hand out some Bibles. Thanks, Addie, by the way, for that reading. That was fantastic. Anyone else need a Bible? Has everyone got a Bible? We're going to be looking at the Bible today. All right. Very good. Before I begin, too, just a... I'm having a party soon, and I'm hoping to invite a whole bunch of people to my party. And at my party, I'm going to be bringing some eggs and some toast. So yeah, it'd be really good if people want to join me in my party. How about you, Graham? Would you like to join me at my party? All right. What would you bring to my party?
I'll bring my wife.
Yeah, no, you can't come to my party.
Bring someone else.
No.
What would you like? I'll bring
No. No, you can't come to my party. So what else I could bring is I could bring some cordial, red cordial, because I like red cordial, and also some orange juice as well, my party. All right, anyway, so anyone else want to come to my party? Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't come to my party. All right, so Ezekiel chapter 17. So Ezekiel chapter 17, Old Testament or New Testament? Old Testament, that's right. Okay, so if you want to just turn to Ezekiel chapter 17. Now, in God's God, when we're breaking down a passage or a chapter like this, we use a technique which some of you have heard before, which is... What is it, Helena? Come on, we need to help these guys. Coma, that's right. Coma. All right, so C stands for context, thank you. O is observation, thank you. M, meaning. A, application. Right, very good. Okay, context. So context for this passage is the who, the what, where, and the why. All right. Well, the why is sort of aligned with meaning, but so who wrote this? Who wrote this passage? Ezekiel. Thank you, Graham. So who was Ezekiel? What do we know about Ezekiel? He was a prophet, yep. And he was also, what else? Something else that he was. Priest. Thanks. Priest. We know he's a priest because at the very beginning of Ezekiel, it talks about how he was turning 30 and he had this vision. So as a Levite, so he was a Levite, so... turning 30, he would have been the age that he would have been becoming a priest in Israel. Let's jump down to what. So what are we looking at here in this passage? Larry mentioned it a few times.
A riddle?
Yep. A parable? Or an allegory? All right, so what does that mean? What is a parable or an allegory? Yeah, sort of a story. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Yeah, that's another way that we look at this thing. Or an allegory. If it's an allegory, we would tend to see things like animals being used to tell the story. So this is a parable or an allegory. It's a story that describes something earthly, but it actually has a heavenly sort of spiritual kind of meaning behind it. And it's a riddle, because we'll talk about it being a riddle at the moment, because there's some really interesting things happening in this passage. So when we read this passage, what should we expect? We should expect that we don't take it literally, right? We're not talking about real eagles here. What we're talking about is what they represent, okay? So we need to keep that in our mind as we're reading this particular passage. Where is this story set? So what part of the Bible are we talking about here? We're in the Old Testament, but whereabouts in the Old Testament are we? Yeah, it's a prophecy. Yeah. What part of the story are we talking about, though? So what's actually happening at this point in time? Israel and Babylon, yeah. Okay, that's good. So the part of the story that we're in, actually, is in the exile, what they call the exile. Okay, so what's happened is, I'll draw a picture here, being the artist that I am. So this down here is Egypt. Up here, got Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, yeah, Jerusalem. So this is Israel. And over here, Babylon. Yeah? So what's happened at this part of the story is it's the part of the story where you remember the story that Solomon was the king? After he was the king, the kingdom divided into two halves, right? There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has already, I think it was 772 or 722 BC before Christ. So Assyria has come and taken this part of the kingdom away. That's already happened, right? Then what's happened is Babylon's taken over, and now they've come here, and they've done a first wave, what we call a first wave. So Babylon came in, and they took the king and a bunch of noble people. And there's like one of these people who we've heard about in the Bible before, a famous character, who was a part of that first wave. Remember who that was? Daniel. That's right. So Daniel was a part of this first group that came into Babylon. The bottom one is Judah, that's right. So they've come across, right? And then there's been, now we're at a point where Ezekiel is a part of this group. He's a part of that first or second wave. This is around 523 BC. It's going back. It's a few hundred years later. And so now we've got Ezekiel. He's actually in Babylon where he's writing this story. Okay, he's writing this parable to us. Does that make sense? Okay, and so that's where it's happening. And why? Why is he writing this? So he's writing this as a judgment or a message. Message to the Israelites. Not only to this group that is still here, because there's still Israelites here, but also to this group here, who we call the remnant. Right? So there's a group that's left behind. Make sense? So that's the context. That's the basis for the story that we're tackling, this allegory that we're tackling today. All right? Okay. So we've got to move pretty quick here because we're a bit out of time. But just back to my party. So with my party, I'm going to bring also some salt and vinegar chips, and and some Oreo biscuits. All right. So to come to my party. Anyone like to come to my party? Yeah. Pavlova. Yeah, no, you can't come to my party. Observation. Do any of the God Squad want to come? Yeah, Helena. Yeah, you can come to my party. You can bring Jonathan. Observation. So observation is about what do we observe when we're reading through the passage? What sort of things stand out to us? What words? We can talk about the structure, that sort of thing. So as a start, who are the main characters in this particular? What animals? The eagle. Eagles. So there's eagle one and eagle two. Yeah. Eagle one seems to be a bit more powerful. And eagle two. We've got this vine. We've got the river, yep. Cedar tree, yeah, that's interesting. Cedar tree, yeah, that's something to maybe explore a bit more. What else do we see about the structure? What do you notice about the structure of this passage? Is there anything in the structure that makes it kind of interesting? It is dramatic, yeah. Yeah. Well, structure is more like how is it set out? How is it? So, like, for example, what I observed is there seems to be a section around verses 1 to 10. So the actual parable seems, or the riddle, or the allegory sits in verses 1 to 10. Can you see that? So if you look at verse 10, it says, it has been planted, so we've gone through this whole business of the eagle comes, he grabs the top of the vine, he takes it away, doesn't he? Plants it, and then he takes a seed from there, and he brings it back. He plants it, right? And then what happens is the vine is looking to the east, and it has its roots deep in the water. But then what does the vine do? It turns, doesn't it? And starts to push its roots out somewhere else. And there's another eagle over here. And then what happens is it says that, will it survive? Will it survive that? The Lord says, no, it's going to rip it out from its roots. Right? Interesting. So verse 1 to 10. Then what happens in verse 11 to 21 is Ezekiel actually explains to us what he's talking about. Right? So he actually explains the parable. Because he talks in there a bit about, he talks about Babylon. He talks a bit about Egypt, and he talks about some kings and those sorts of things, right? So that's interesting. So he actually gives us the parable, he gives us the meaning, and then in verses 22 to 24, he does something different, he does something weird. This is part of the riddle. He then starts to talk about this shoot. That's the bit that Addie read for us. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. And I'll put it on a mountain. So there's another interesting thing. Mountain. Another interesting thing. So we seem to observe that this riddle or this passage is broken up into parts. There's the actual parable and the riddle that we talked about, the eagles and the vines and the water. Then we get the meaning, and you're talking about Babylon and Egypt and those sorts of things. And then we've got this funny little riddle at the bottom here, 22 to 24. Does that make sense? Okay, so these are some things that we need to observe. All right, let's keep moving. So just with my party, back to my party. So I'd really like to bring... I'm going to bring Tracy to my party, and I'm also going to bring hot dogs. I love hot dogs. Okay. Anyone else like to come to my party? Yeah. Simone, you can come to my party. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Sam. The what? Pasta? The pasta. Oh, I love the pasta. No, you can't come to me. All right, so some people can come to my party and some can't. Interesting. Meaning, was this passage written to us? No. The passage wasn't written to us, it was written to these people. Remember the picture? It was written to Israel. It wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. Okay? So when we talk about meaning, we're talking about what did it mean to the original hearers? Okay? What did it mean to those people who read this and who it was written to? All right, so in order to understand the meaning, we need to look at these verses in 11 to 21. So if we break this down a little bit, Eagle One, who's Eagle One? No, Babylon. And who in Babylon? The king. So Eagle One is the king in Babylon, and his name was? Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you. Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, Eagle 2. Who is Eagle 2? Egypt. It's the Pharaoh in Egypt. Okay, and who is the vine? Well, actually, yeah, who is this? Who is the, what do they call it? The, I will take a... one of the seedlings. So remember the story? So the idea is that the eagle comes, there's this big tree called a cedar. He takes a shoot, takes it away, but brings back a seedling, which becomes a vine, a low vine. Who's this? Do we know? It's a little bit hard. We need to think about two kings. So the story, this story is actually talked about in 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 24. And it was actually a king, and his name was Zedekiah. So the vine is Zedekiah. All right, and the shoot that was taken out was actually the current Israel's king, who was Jehoiakim. Jehoiachin was his name. Right. Okay, so what's happened in 2 Kings and in this story is Babylon, you remember Babylon had come in, taken over, they'd taken a small group. What they took was the king, who was Jehoiachin, who was the king at the time, and they'd taken all of Daniel and all of the prophets and those sorts of guys, right? So they're now in Babylon. And then what Nebuchadnezzar does is he plants a puppet king, who's actually a Israelite, back in Israel, in Jerusalem, which is Zedekiah. Right? Now, what happened in 2 Kings, and it also talks about it in Jeremiah, is Zedekiah actually then tried to do a deal with Egypt, with Pharaoh, right? So what he did was, even though he was this puppet king, and the other word that we need to cover off here too, which you'll see, is covenant. Right? Covenant or treaty is the word that's used quite a bit throughout this passage. Covenant, treaty. So there was a treaty between Nebuchadnezzar and Zedekiah. This is what you must do. And then what happened was Zedekiah said, actually, I'm going to try and do a deal to protect me with Egypt, with Pharaoh. All the horses, so it mentions in there about getting the horses and all that sort of stuff, right? And so when he did that, it was against what this guy was doing, but also it was against the agreement that the Lord had put in place, the covenant. Right? So in the very beginning, if we go right back to Abraham's time, what did God say in chapter 12, really important chapter, that with Abraham, God is going to set up a covenant to bless Abraham and to bless the nations through Abraham, right? And so what had happened all the way through the journey is that the Israelites had broken that covenant. And so God was angry and he wanted to punish and to deal with the Israelites. So that's what he said. I'm going to uproot you. I'm going to pull you out, Zedekiah, you're no longer going to be the king. But then in 2 Samuel, chapter 7, it talks about how there's going to be a king on the throne of David for eternity, right? So what were the Israelites thinking when they're reading this? They're thinking, I'm not sure about this. I think the Lord's going to let us down here. I think the Lord's going to not stand up to his covenant here. But then we get to the riddle. And what does the riddle talk about? The riddle talks about a shoot. It talks about a shoot that's going to be planted on a mountain in Jerusalem. And what mountain would that be? It'd be the mountain where the temple is, right? Yeah, on Mount Zion. So this shoot, and who's going to plant the shoot? God, the Lord. The Lord's going to plant the shoot. And what do we know about the shoot? Where do we read about the shoot? The shoot is in Isaiah 53, remember? Out of the stump of Jesse, I will plant a shoot. And it will be on the kingdom, and it will be a kingdom of God which will reign and last forever. So this was really hopeful. Although the children of Israel, the remnant that we talked about, were going to suffer because God was going to deal with their sin, there was hope. There was hope in this verse. There was going to be a shoot that was going to rise up and would bring blessing to them as God had promised in his covenant. So that's what it meant to the people there. Anyway, back to my party. We're just about out of time, so this will be the last time. So at my party, I'm going to bring sausage rolls, staple party food, and party pies. Anyone else want to come to my party? Yeah. Aria? Sushi, I love sushi. Yes, you can come to my party. Yeah, Lynn. Oh, I love them. Yeah, no. There you go. Terry. Cheesecake. What kind of cheesecake? No, sorry, Terry, you can't come to my party. So what does this mean for us? So what does this mean for... This is a really obscure little story. What does it mean for us today? I think of what it means for us is I picked out a passage in John. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Where we now are able to experience the shoot. And the true vine or the tree that's been planted. And the tree we see in this passage is one that provides safety, it provides harbour for all of the animals, the birds, and it flourishes, right? So for me, this is about the kingdom of God. And John 15:4 says, I am the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. If you are in me, and then I will be in you. So the real application and message for us today is that we do have hope. Even though when the world seems like it's getting out of control, we do have hope in that we have the opportunity to be a part of the Saviour of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the shoot, the eternal head of the kingdom of God, and for us to be in him and for him to be in us. So that gives us hope and it gives us refuge for those times that are really hard and difficult. Anyway, so I hope that's been helpful. Probably a couple of minutes longer than I thought. But thanks for coming to God Squad today. It's been great to have you with us. Thanks. Well, if you people were observant, like the guys from God Squad, we've done this before, obviously. But if you're paying attention to what I'm doing when I'm saying I'm going to my party, if you're paying attention and watching what I'm doing, then that's the key. That's the key to the riddle, coming to my party. So at my party, if I bought party pies and sausage rolls, I can't come. But if I bought party pies and sausage rolls, then I'm most welcome.